This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's your new Tuesday night lineup here on Joy, but Worldwide Wave's in the same spot. Your international fix of international news and current affairs for the LGBTI community, taking around the globe one country at a time. Thanks to T for the six at 6:30. It's tricky, and Richard for the latest in local news. On the Worldwide Wave panel with me tonight, we have Ian.
I'm here.
Stefan's here too.
Good evening.
And hello, Alex.
Hola.
My name is Matt.
Refugees have been a hot topic, not just in Australia, but across the world. These stories of desperation, despair, tragedy and hope are fertile ground for storytellers and filmmakers. One Australian is bringing these themes, packed with twists and unexpected turns, to the big screen of the Melbourne International Film Festival.
Which we also call MIF. Actor, writer and producer Benjamin Rigby's latest short film, We're Not Here, is screening as part of the Australian Shorts on Sunday at MIF. It combines politics, power, violence, fear, nudity, all in 11 minutes that leaves you thinking, what would I do?
Let's face it, there are many Aussie actors in Los Angeles and some of them are even acting. Our guest tonight has not only appeared on screen in everything from Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries to Alien Covenant, but he's also written and produced two short films. Benjamin Rigby's latest work, We're Not Here, has been selected as part of the Australian Shorts package at this year's Melbourne International Film Festival, currently showing pretty much all over Melbourne. We asked Ben to give us a flavour of what his short film is all about.
Without giving too much away, it's essentially about a right-wing Finnish politician who's meeting his secret lover, leaving his wife and kids for the weekend to meet his secret lover on a secluded Mediterranean beach. And when they're there, they get a very, very unexpected visitor that throws their relationship into turmoil and their moral compasses into turmoil.
Why is it a Finnish politician? Was there anything, any special thought in that?
I wanted it to be European because when you see the film, if you do see the film, it deals with migration and with a refugee crisis. And I wanted it to be European because that's the center of essentially where that is happening right now and has been happening for the past several years. So I first reached out to a French actor, and then we had a few issues with getting that person here. And we actually filmed it in rural Mexico. So getting them here and then scheduling and whatnot. So we reached out to a few German actors who then couldn't do it because of scheduling as well. And then so I looked into a bunch of queer cinema, and I essentially wanted the other actor to be comfortable with doing male-to-male sexuality, because in so many queer films you have straight dudes who are doing it for, you know, to show that they can have versatility. And I really wanted somebody who was a friend of the community as opposed to a voyeur or someone who was essentially a tourist. So I reached out to the lead from the Tom of Finland film called Pekka Strang, and he said yes, miraculously. And so we flew him out, and I thought he was gay. And then I said, will you do this film? I can only pay you this much. And then he was like, yeah, just don't pay me, just pay for my kid to come as well. I spoke to my wife, et cetera. I was like, oh my God, I had no idea. So he came over. He's an absolute sweetheart. He's now considered one of my great friends, and he is a complete friend of the gays, and I completely support him being in this film. But I think that the refugee crisis, especially the Syrian refugee crisis, is a problem, and migration in general is a problem, especially in Australia, that we have kind of everywhere. And I wanted to pinpoint that, and I don't think it matters where they're from, because these are problems that we are all talking about regardless of what background.
I want to come back to the refugees and migration. Just want to pick up one thing there, the lead actor from Tom of Finland, which was a really big international success. You were clearly quite surprised he said yes.
Oh, sure. I mean, you always reach out to people that you never get your first choice. And, you know, as a producer, you reach out to people and you think, oh, fuck, this is my top choice. And then I have to kind of, you know, water it down. But we ended up getting, in my opinion, the best choice. We'd kind of reached out to a few other actors out of necessity. And then I thought, fuck, what if we instead just went from Germany? Because, you know, Germany accepted a lot of Syrian refugees, and that's originally why I wanted it in that area. But then Sweden accepted a lot of Syrian refugees, and Finland has a very, very strong right-wing party that's growing by the day. So, you know, I was surprised that he said yes. But what it came down to was his wife essentially being like, you should do this, and him seeing an article on the news where he saw something of the same vein and said, I have to do this film.
All right, so refugees, without giving it away, but it is a key theme within your film, why is that important to you?
Look, I think it's important to everybody. It should be. Yeah, I don't really need to elaborate too much on that. That's I think it's a problem that, well, in all of my films, I don't know if you saw my previous film, Bridge, that I wrote, but, you know, in everything that I make, I want it to be about either, like, sex, love, family, secrets. And politics was one thing that I hadn't explored yet. And, you know, during the Trump administration, they had, wherever the political party went during the campaign, they had massive spikes in Grindr usage. And I'm like, well, here's people that are spitting rhetoric about the community that I'm a part of, and they are actually living this in secret. And so I wanted to play with the idea of somebody who can't quite be out due to their own choice or situation.
Do you think your Australian experience and knowledge with Australia's handling of refugees, do you think that has flavoured what you've put into the film?
For sure, but I also wanted to play an American in the film because I think America gets a really bad rap at the moment, and it's not everybody, and I wanted to paint myself as a left-wing person in this film just because, yeah, Americans, you mentioned the word America, and I live here now, so, you know, there's a big, big population of Americans who don't think that way.
And that was Benjamin Rigby getting us thinking about refugees, creator of the short film We're Not Here, showing at MIFF. Coming up, we asked a question that we think made Ben blush. Find out what it was shortly. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrilidis, the prisoner of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the World Wide Wave.
Taste your fingertips. They drunk into
The amazing Tove Lo. The reason I chose that song was that Tove Lo is headlining at the Flow Festival, which is in Helsinki coming this weekend, a huge music festival in Finland, which is where one of the actors for tonight's piece comes from.
I really don't think it's pronounced Tove, but anyway.
How do we pronounce it?
Well, I think it'd be Tove.
Good. Yep. I told you that I would find something on this show to mispronounce, and I feel happy now that I've done that.
I believe you. We had a message in on Facebook. It's actually about the story from last week where Indonesian police compared the LGBTI community to child groomers. Joe says, and this is why we don't go on holidays to Bali. So, well, you may not. I dare say, Joe, there's a lot of people that do, but yes, conjures up that old argument of should you spend your tourist dollars in countries where there are LGBT rights issues. You can send us your thoughts, 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Our guest tonight is Australian actor and filmmaker Benjamin Rigby. His film, We're Not Here, is part of the Australian Shorts showing next week at the Melbourne International Film Festival. We can't say too much about the plot without giving the twist away, though, but the film is sure to cause deep thinking and conversations. I don't want to spoil the film for anybody, but you deliberately left the ending open, and I think you did that in Bridge as well. What do you want the audience to think really when they get out?
I mean, I don't think it matters what happens at the end. I think I approached this film writing it with Bonnie's the director and Adam Spellacy, the screenwriter. So I wrote the story with a heavy sense of nihilism as I approach all of my work, I think. I don't think it matters because I don't think that when it comes to this crisis that we can actually do anything about it. I think it's the people with power who can do something about it and they don't. So in particular, this was a big talking point in the final product, especially in the edit. I wanted to have people put it together for themselves and then realize that it almost doesn't matter because these people aren't trying to help each other and trying to help us. And that doesn't just count for refugees. It counts for a lot of other issues within the world right now.
The film does have some nudity in it as well. Is that kind of...
It does.
Is that a necessity to...
Right?
Is that a necessity to get a queer audience? Are we so simple in that way?
No, but it it certainly looks nice. I mean, I retaliate to queer films that, I mean, we've had to program ourselves to watch straight people get naked all the time. So why the fuck don't we put gays naked in it? You know, like, I think also when you're in a relationship or an interaction or some form of a secretive sexual relationship, you see each other only in really a sexual sense. And I wanted to really explore that. I've done a bunch of films that have had sexual scenes that don't require nudity, and I think in this specific sense you're in the open space, you're in this open area and there's no one around. So, and also when we were filming it, I was like, okay, Pekka, the other actor, I was like, okay, so I'm going to kick your boxer shorts off underwater in this shot. And he's like, this is strange because in Finland we all bathe naked anyway.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, it's a nice comment to keep his boxes on as like a thing of him keeping his secret and me kind of taking it off.
You have to be quite selective in short films about what is in, what is out. Every second counts, really.
Oh, yeah.
How was the editing process for We're Not Here?
Look, it was great. Maria Paputis, our editor, she worked on Lion as a second editor, and she just finished Ride Like a Girl, the Rachel Griffiths horse racing film, which I haven't seen. But so she's very well experienced. But it was a really lovely collaborative effort, and you know, she was pretty responsive to what we wanted with it. But yeah, we did have to take a lot of stuff out, and there was a lot of footage that unfortunately didn't make it. But every part of the film, every scene involved in the original script did make it. It's just a process of taking dialogue that we don't need out. So it is quite a long process. It took a few months. It's a super interesting process that is relatively new to me. So, yeah, I find it really exciting.
queer film as a genre has sort of come from, you know, early days, everything was either a coming out story or, you know, a complete over-the-top comedy. We seem to be getting much more nuanced stories, much more different thing, suspense. Stranger by the Lake.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's. Is it just a case of having to find new angles to get people in, so you're not showing the same thing, or is it that the directors are pushing boundaries, discovering more stories, and that? What's your take on it?
Look, I don't know. I think there's much more of an eye on it. Like, you saw how many people were in Pride in New York this year. It's like, well, we're not going anywhere. And gays are extremely discerning and, you know, we can have a tendency to be very bitchy and critical. So if we see the same thing twice, we're going to get bored, right?
Quickly.
So, I mean, I've got a bunch of quite discerning friends who work in programming and who work in production here, and you spin ideas off them and see kind of what tickles their fancy, and if they go, oh, that's a cool idea, then you go for it. And that was with this film, something that I pitched to John Logan, who's the exec producer, and he's a massive screenwriter. He did Skyfall, Spectre, Hugo, Last Samurai. The list goes on. He's incredible, but I dinner with him and I was frustrated about how to get money for my next project, and he's like, are you working on anything? And I said, yeah, I am. I'm working on this script. And he said, what is it? And then I told him, and he's like, how much would that cost to make? And I told him, and then he's like, I'll give you that amount of money. And I was like, oh my God, fuck, wow. Really? Yeah. Cool. So, you know, that was a nice blessing, and he watched it. He absolutely loves it. And he was super. He's been a great advocate of mine from, I did a film that he wrote a few years ago, and that's just kind of gone from there. But that's why I live in LA. I mean, it's where the epicenter of entertainment is. But saying that, I am really happy to be coming back and premiering at MIFF, because I lived in Melbourne for a really long time.
It premiered at Outfest as well, didn't it, this week?
It did, a few weeks ago. I unfortunately couldn't make it, but my partner, who's the underwater cinematographer and the lead actor, Pekka Strang, they could make it, and it had a great reception, and it's part of a really amazing program. The head programmer said it was an awesome program, as did everybody else, so I'm super chuffed that it got to premiere somewhere that is part of our community as well.
That's Australian actor Benjamin Rigby. He's also written and produced a short film, We're Not Here, in this year's MIFF. Nudity, I'm going to put it out there. Is it? Because I remember we had a play producer come in and there was nudity in that. It was a midsummer play. And he said, you kind of got to have nudity to get the gays in. Do you need nudity in a queer film, do you think?
I don't know about to get the gays in. But it certainly fits the plot of this, or the scene of this short film. I mean, as you said, Scandinavia, everyone does it in the nutty.
But you get the, you know, the programs, and they say, you know, caution nudity. Well, is that actually a tool for assisting ticket sales?
Maybe. Doesn't get me in, but...
No?
No.
I wonder what our listeners think on that one. 0427 Joy 949. Are you more likely to see a queer film if it's got nudity in it?
Yeah, that's a good question, yeah.
The other thing that blows my mind about short films is the editing process, because it seems like an incredible amount of work and effort for what ends up being... This one's 11 minutes, but, like, you can see some shorts that are 5 minutes. And
yeah.
It must be such a... There must be such... Although it didn't come across with Benjamin, such angst in trying to choose what's in, what's out.
Yeah.
It was quite relaxed about, you know, what made the cut was really what he wanted to see, and he didn't deviate from the scenario. So, yeah, I don't know how much you can cut off from a movie like this, but I mean, I've watched it and it doesn't look like there's anything missing. It looks really well produced and nice.
Although it must be an interesting process, because this sort of storyline, without giving anything away, could could evolve into virtually a feature, you know, a feature-length film, maybe not quite, but a short feature. There's a lot of, you know, themes there, as he brings up. So it must have been nonetheless challenging to sort of fit, you decide what's in, what's out, what do you need. And it's interesting hearing him talk about the dialogue to cut that right down, because it's interesting because I think a lot of film does have superfluous dialogue. Some needs more of it. some needs a lot less of it, I find. So.
Of course, we are being elusive with that. We're trying not to say too much because there is the way the refugee themes come into this film that would give it away. So but you've got to go see it.
I'm not going to give the plot away. Don't worry about that. But there's a device that's been used here. There's a device that was used in a 1975 Raymond Carver book, and that was adapted into Jindaburn, the movie. It's also been used in a couple of other movie contexts, which creates a tension between partners and a tension for a couple to look at, do I really understand this person? Let's put it that way, if I'm not being too obtuse. So it's a device that's been used quite cleverly, dramatically in the past, and it's done well here. It's done well here.
We've got more with Ben coming up. You're on Worldwide Wave.
And why not check out one of Joy's great podcasts on Worldwide Wave, which you're listening to now? You'll hear from two Australians helping to wave the rainbow flag in China and some of the challenges they face. On Hooked, Russ, Paul and David get together and reflect on the past season before they take a break. And on The Broadcast, Judy and Gina spend the hour celebrating the music of Madonna. All this podcast and many more available wherever you get your podcast. Joy Podcast, where you want them, when you want them.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Take us with you anywhere.
Planning your wedding or photo shoot? Can't find that perfect, fun photographer to relax you for those candid moments? The one that goes over and beyond to create everlasting memories? Look no further than Love is Love Photography. Specialising in LGBTQ photography with hundreds of happy clients, including kids and pets. Check the reviews on loveislovephotography.com.au. A proud Joy sponsor.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. We're stopped off in Finland, Mediterranean, refugees, covering a bit of territory tonight. A message has come in from Graham at Bundura. Thanks for the message, Graham, on 0427-JOY-949. Too right about not going to Bali. I won't even transit through any Islamic country. I wonder if that's for your own safety, Graham, or for a boycott, because we have sort of spoken about the whole boycott thing on here and whether that is a good thing or a bad thing. And there's certainly two sides to this argument.
Yeah.
About, you know, are you helping or hurting the people you're trying to help?
I'd like to know how you get to certain places when, considering where Australia is, if you're not going through an Islamic country, because many of our transit points have a large Islamic population. I mean, you wouldn't often think of going via Bali. I've actually done that, gone via Bali to Europe. But otherwise, we're thinking about, what, Dubai or United Arab Emirates?
Yeah.
Singapore? All of these countries have large Islamic populations. So, well, we could go to New Zealand, I suppose.
Tokyo?
Yeah.
You can do it if you want to. But that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
If you're doing it as a boycott. If you're doing it as a safety thing, transiting's probably okay. Anyway. Tonight, we're talking all things refugees with our guest Benjamin Rigby.
And we've been discussing the wider diversity in queer films with Aussie expat and actor. With improved technologies, indeed, everyone now has a video recorder in their phone. We asked Ben if it was now easy to make arthouse films.
Look, I think so. I think anyone's been able to kind of pick up a camera in some regard. I think it's much cheaper to have an audience these days and to go from there. In many ways, they, like producers and casting agents and whatnot, will look at somebody's Instagram followers before they cast them. So, you know, that's very bittersweet in many ways. But I think it's easier to have a viewership. I think it's always just as hard to make a good story, and it's just as hard to make people connect to you. But there's so many different ways now to do that, which is a complete luxury. And, you know, you don't have to be exceptionally rich to reach people.
For you personally, you're moving from an actor to a filmmaker. What's driving that? Is there, you know, is do you see a feature film in the future?
For this, no. For something else, for sure. I'm still 100% an actor. I just like making my own content as well, because I like to write and explore roles that I don't see written out there. I think that's a big driver of a lot of people making their own content. They want to play roles that they don't necessarily see on the page. And that's the last two films, what has come. Bridge was a complete miracle. It just kind of poured out of me, and I got Bonnie, the director, and my producing partner Belinda together and cast it and made it. You know, we shot illegally and probably should have been fine. But yeah, then it got into a few festivals and people watched and they liked it and connected to it. And then people start asking, what's your next project? Which is always lovely.
Now, Bridge was it felt to me quite personal. And how much come from your personal stories, this kind of in your movies?
Oh, they always come from my personal stories. Whether it's in my imagination or my past, but, you know, I won't go that far. I barely know you. I'm not going to tell you. And this is on radio.
Just an intimate discussion, that's all.
No, like, you have to, as an actor, you have to really put yourself into the shoes of the character, as well as drawing from stories or your past or things that you've read or... Yeah, it's just an amalgamation, really. It's a busy brain, and then somehow it just goes somewhere and you hope that people like it.
When you go into that that experience of making films, do you think that's changed you as an actor or given you a new appreciation for writers, directors, other elements of making films?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean, it's definitely given me the ability to trust myself with other work, because if you live in a city like LA or even in a city like in Melbourne, you'll audition very seldom. So you put that audition on a pedestal, whereas if you're making your own stuff, you tend to be too busy to care. And that's always a nice luxury to have.
You mentioned you're living in LA. We've sort of come from a period where, you know, Paul Hogan era Aussies were flavour of the month. Are we still flavour of the month? Are we still a sought-after commodity in the film world?
Good question. Look, they all know what our accent is now, which is, you know, like, you're from Australia. And then you kind of hear this, oh, I know this Aussie. Like, Aussies are everywhere, which is nice. There's a big community here. But then I guess there's a lot of people who come for the wrong reasons. I've been here a few years. It's starting to pick up, which is lovely. Yeah, I think we are still flavour of the month. We have a really good work ethic. Australians tend to work hard and not complain too much. But that can't be said for a lot of other people. But I think as Australian actors especially, I don't know necessarily in a producer or a writer or a director sense here, but as actors, we have to train and we have to work really hard. So when we come here, if our agents or whatever back home allow us to even get meetings or whatever, then it proves that we're ready in a way. We kind of go to the top of the pile.
And all that hard work will be on show next week at the Melbourne International Film Festival. Your film, We're Not Here, is a part of the Australian Shorts program. The creator, Benjamin Rigby, thank you very much for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I don't think it's an easy life being an artist. It's hard work to get known. So it was really interesting to me that Ben was sort of taking the approach, well, yes, I'm an actor, but hey, I can do other things as well. I can create my own content. And that whole thing about it's cheaper, it's more accessible now. You don't have to, you know, bid to big studios to get things made.
No, exactly. And then there's the whole streaming television phenomenon, which is allowing avenues again, new avenues.
We need to get some context here. Who's Paul Hogan for people who are, you know, under 30 years old?
Whatever. He really did catapult, though, Australian actors to a new level.
Crocodile Dundee, if you've not seen it. Because there will be people who don't know what Crocodile Dundee is, honestly. Well, there will, Matt. There will.
There will be Australians, but you go ask any German, it's about the only film they know, embarrassingly
they
still.
They know now. I do want to pick up on one thing, because back in the interview, he was talking about... So one of the key characters is a Finnish right-wing politician who's going behind his wife's back, having an affair with a gay guy, and as been mentioned, you know, the, when the Republican Party went on their Trump tour around America, there were spikes on Grindr usage. So there's clearly people who are voting and acting against the LGBTI community, but they're in a position of power in some of these political parties. Should they be outed?
Absolutely. And Peter Tatchell would say that they should. He did say, actually, when we spoke to him, that they should be outed. And why not? If their behaviour is damaging to other people, I don't think it matters how it's damaging. Yes, they should be outed. But this is not new. If anyone's watched Angels in America, the character, that the lawyer in that is based upon a real-life character who was Ronald Reagan's lawyer at the time, who was outrageously out there.
And wasn't there also the mayor of one of the mayors of New York who was in the closet?
Absolutely, yeah, Koch
and during that era, was much blamed for not.
It's a difference, though, in being gay and sort of everybody either assuming or the quiet conversations to publicly coming out and saying that person is gay or that person is lesbian and they're voting against LGBTI issues.
It does raise a question.
If you're an ex,
No, I get that. I get this scenario. Look, it depends. I suppose the line for me personally would be ethically if you are not just in a party that is, conservative or homophobic, but whether you yourself actually promote certain policies with that platform that are against your own community, so to speak, if you know what I mean. But I don't think, I don't think that it's like saying you can't be a Liberal or a National Party member and be a member of the LGBT, because that's going way too far, I feel. But although I don't know if I could go out with someone who's a log cabin Republican, a gay Republican in the US. I would find that probably a bit much for me.
This is my own view is tainted by my experience of going out with someone who I discovered after a couple of weeks was a Pauline Hanson supporter. So that was a terrible experience for me and has clouded my judgment.
Send us your thoughts. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Proudly supported by Joy.
Hi, this is Anastasia from the Sabbath organization Russia on the World Wide Wave.
Closed my eyes so I couldn't see it. But now I'm ready to feel it. So tonight I'm making friends with all the creatures that are hiding there under my bed. I ain't gonna hold on to the try and scare me now, but I
just proving the point there that we are good gays because we played a Eurovision song.
Yay.
That was Sara Aalto, who is, of course, a Finnish singer and openly lesbian in a relationship. And that connects our guest tonight. The main character in his short film is a Finnish right-wing politician. So a huge thank you to Benjamin Rigby. His short film, We're Not Here, is showing at the Melbourne International Film Festival, part of the Australian Shorts. It's on this Sunday at 1:15, next Tuesday at 9:15. Tickets at miff.com.au.
And thank you to all the messages and Facebook from Alicia, Tim, Brett, William, Leon and heaps more who've joined us, interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
Behind the scenes are podcaster Alex and our social media master Dean on the front desk, Andy.
Stay tuned. Bad Gays with Helen Alex coming up next. Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Bye for now.
Drowning out the noises in between the voices. 5 a.m., there is something more. I called the look you gave me. Faces growing hazy.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.